from then on, afraid to think. He is left at the mercy of unidentified feelings. His feelings become his only guide, his only remnant of personal identity. He clings to them with ferocious possessiveness, and whatever thinking he does is devoted to the struggle of hiding from himself that the nature of his feelings is terror. When a mystic declares that he feels the existence of a power superior to reason, he feels it all right, but that power is not an omniscient super-spirit of the universe. It is the consciousness of any passerby to whom he has surrendered his own. A mystic is driven by the urge to impress, to cheat, to flatter, to deceive, to force that omnipotent consciousness of others. They are his only key to reality. He feels that he cannot exist save by harnessing their mysterious power and extorting their unaccountable consent. They are his only means of perception, and like a blind man who depends on the sight of a dog, he feels he must leash them in order to live. To control the consciousness of others becomes his only passion. Power lust is a weed that grows only in the vacant lots of an abandoned mind. Every dictator is a mystic, and every mystic is a potential dictator. A mystic craves obedience from men, not their agreement. He wants them to surrender their consciousness to his assertions, his edicts, his wishes, his whims, as his consciousness is surrendered to theirs. He wants to deal with men by means of faith and force. He finds no satisfaction in their consent if he must earn it by means of facts and reason. Reason is the enemy he dreads and simultaneously considers precarious. Reason to him is a means of deception. He feels that men possess some power more potent than reason, and only their causeless belief or their forced obedience can give him a sense of security, a proof that he has gained control of the mystic endowment he lacked. His lust is to command, not to convince. Conviction requires an act of independence and rests on the absolute of an objective reality. What he seeks is power over reality and over men's means of perceiving it, their mind, the power to interpose his will between existence and consciousness. As if by agreeing to fake the reality he orders them to fake, men would in fact create it. Just as the mystic is a parasite in matter, who expropriates the wealth created by others, just as he is a parasite in spirit, who plunders the ideas created by others, so he falls below the level of a lunatic who creates his own distortion of reality to the level of a parasite of lunacy who seeks a distortion created by others. There is only one state that fulfills the mystic's longing for infinity, non-causality, non-identity. Death. No matter what unintelligible causes he ascribes to his incommunicable feelings, whoever rejects reality rejects existence, and the feelings that move him from then on are hatred for all the values of man's life, and lust for all the evils that destroy it. A mystic relishes the spectacle of suffering, of poverty, subservience, and terror. These give him a feeling of triumph, a proof of the defeat of rational reality. But no other reality exists. No matter whose welfare he professes to serve, be it the welfare of God or of that disembodied gargoyle he describes as the people, no matter what ideal he proclaims in terms of some supernatural dimension, in fact, in reality, on earth, his ideal is death. His craving is to kill. His only satisfaction is to torture. Destruction is the only end that the mystic's creed has ever achieved, as it is the only end that you see them achieving today. And if the ravages wrought by their acts have not made them question their doctrines, if they profess to be moved by love, yet are not deterred by piles of human corpses, it is because the truth about their souls is worse than the obscene excuse you have allowed them, the excuse that the end justifies the means, and that the horrors they practice are means to nobler ends. The truth is that those horrors are their ends. You who are depraved enough to believe that you could adjust yourself to a mystic's dictatorship and could please him by obeying his orders. There is no way to please him. When you obey, he will reverse his orders. He seeks obedience for the sake of obedience and destruction for the sake of destruction. You who are craven enough to believe that you can make terms with a mystic by giving in to his extortions. There is no way to buy him off. The bribe he wants is your life, as slowly or as fast as you are willing to give it in. And the monster he seeks to bribe is the hidden blankout in his mind, which drives him to kill in order not to learn that the death he desires is his own. You who are innocent enough to believe that the forces let loose in your world today are moved by greed for material plunder, the mystic scramble for spoils is only a screen to conceal from their mind the nature of their motive. Wealth is a means of human life, and they clamor for wealth in imitation of living beings, to pretend to themselves that they desire to live. But their swinish indulgence in plundered luxury is not enjoyment, it is escape. They do not want to own your fortune, they want you to lose it. They do not want to succeed, they want you to fail. They do not want to live, they want you to die. They desire nothing, they hate existence, and they keep running, each trying not to learn that the object of his hatred is himself. You who've never grasped the nature of evil, you who describe them as misguided idealists, may the gods you invented forgive you. They are the essence of evil. They, those anti-living objects, who seek by devouring the world to fill the selfless zero of their soul. It is not your wealth that they're after. Theirs is a conspiracy against the mind, which means against life and man. It is a conspiracy without leader or direction. And the random little thugs of the moment who cash in on the agony of one land or another are chance scum, riding the torrent from the broken dam of the sewer of centuries, from the reservoir of hatred for reason, for logic, for ability, for achievement, for joy, stored by every whining anti-human who ever preached the superiority of the heart over the mind. It is a conspiracy of all those who seek not to live but to get away with living, those who seek to cut just one small corner of reality and are drawn by feeling to all the others who are busy cutting other corners, a conspiracy that unites by links of evasion all those who pursue a zero as a value. The professor who, unable to think, takes pleasure in crippling the mind of his students, the businessman who, to protect his stagnation, takes pleasure in chaining the ability of competitors, the neurotic who, to defend his self-loathing, takes pleasure in breaking men of self-esteem, the incompetent who takes pleasure in defeating achievement, the mediocrity who takes pleasure in demolishing greatness, the eunuch who takes pleasure in the castration of all pleasure. And all their intellectual munition makers, all those who preach that the immolation of virtue will transform vices into virtue. Death is the premise at the root of their theories. Death is the goal of their actions in practice. And you are the last of their victims. We, who were the living buffers between you and the nature of your creed, are no longer there to save you from the effects of your chosen beliefs. We are no longer willing to pay with our lives the debts you incurred in yours, or the moral deficit piled up by all the generations behind you. You had been living on borrowed time, and I am the man who has called in the loan. I am the man whose existence your blankouts were intended to permit you to ignore. I am the man whom you did not want either to live or to die. You did not want me to live because you were afraid of knowing that I carried the responsibility you dropped and that your lives depended on me. You did not want me to die because you knew it. 12 years ago, when I worked in your world, I was an inventor. I was one of a profession that came last in human history and will be first to vanish on the way back to the subhuman. An inventor is a man who asks, why, of the universe, and lets nothing stand between the answer and his mind. Like the man who discovered the use of steam, or the man who discovered the use of oil, I discovered a source of energy which was available since the birth of the globe, but which men had not known how to use except as an object of worship, of terror, and of legends about a thundering god. I completed the experimental model of a motor that would have made a fortune for me and for those who had hired me, a motor that would have raised the efficiency of every human installation using power, and would have added the gift of higher productivity to every hour you spend at earning your living. Then one night at a factory meeting, I heard myself sentenced to death by reason of my achievement. I heard 3 parasites assert that my brain and my life were their property, that my right to exist was conditional and depended on the satisfaction of their desires. The purpose of my ability, they said, was to serve the needs of those who were less able. I had no right to live, they said, by reason of my competence for living. Their right to live was unconditional, by reason of their incompetence.